monitoring the mountains of the West, parting the Pine Curtain of the East, and keeping watch over the prairies and hills in between. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without the corporate management muzzle. By the way, it's Flag Day. Are you flying the stars and stripes? We are. Our Lone Star story of the day, teachers and other leftist useful idiots protest Texas and other state laws just passed against teaching critical race theory in public schools. The media whitewashes what CRT actually is. And in Texas, what non-racist could oppose what the bill here actually does? I guess only ignorant ones who don't know what the bill does. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with professional drug testing. They've been doing this since 1995. AlliedCompliance.com. We've just got a ton of Texas news to get to, headlines and otherwise. Texas also wins the Golden Shovel Award again. And former Supreme Court Justice who resigned suddenly last week, Eva Guzman, well, she's entering the GOP primary race for Attorney General, as was rumored. And State Rep White in East Texas hints at a statewide run, says he won't run again for re-election to the State House. We've got a lot of political and other news to get to. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. It is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan, and it's going to be a heck of a day to be a Texan and an American. On Wednesday, the 30th of June, from 6 to 9 p.m., we'll be at Denton Valley Farms in Clyde, Texas. It's just actually right outside of Abilene, over towards the airport in the southeast area, Denton Valley Farms. Great event center, and they're having having me there as part of Standing Strong, a celebration of liberty. My Abilene affiliate, Q Country 96.1 FM, putting this on, along with folks at Denton Valley Farms. And I'll be the keynote speaker there. It's going to be a big event. There'll be music, dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House. That's right. It's a ticketed event. So we've got to have the count early. Get your tickets and do that. Go find out more information. You can see it there at the top part at PrattOnTexas.com or over at the Q Country website. But you do need to get your tickets. Get them ordered now. Hey, today in Texas history, in 1881, the Laredo Times was founded. In 1926, the paper became the first English-language paper on the border to include a Spanish section. Also, Sol Ross began operations out in Alpine in 1920 on this day. And in 1983, five people were killed in a wing of a Ramada Inn in Fort Worth. Fire began in stacked rolls of carpet and padding in the fuse. The fumes were what were toxic and killed five people there. Also, June 14th in 1886, Conger Neblett was born in Corsicana. She married Jack Hager in 26. A Bostonian had come to Texas for oil and real estate. They moved to Rockport. She spent the rest of her life as an amateur bird watcher and became so well known around the entire world amongst ornithologists, she became known as the Texas Bird Lady. She died in 1973. And by the way, Today in Texas History is sponsored by our great friends at USA Investigations. Professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, including background checks. Investigate for more at USAinvestigations.net. USAinvestigations.net. By the way, yesterday in Texas history was that day in 2015 when a gunman opened fire on police outside Dallas police headquarters. He was later shot and killed through the windshield of his van by a police sniper. Great work, Snapper. All right, my friends, we are loaded up with news. I'm going to get to that big shooting issue in Austin over the weekend down on 6th Street, Old Pecan Street. But I'm going to get to that as more of a feature story on politics coming up in a moment, because unfortunately, the leftist useful idiots that now that run all of seemingly run most all of the media have made life unsafe for people because they've injected politics into the story. Let's get to our other headlines. KTRK reporting out of Madisonville that one person was killed in a plane crash and five others injured this morning. About an hour, that's about an hour and a half north of Houston. The crash happened about 1 a.m. Small plane attempted to land at Madisonville Municipal Airport. A helicopter reporter with Sky Eye was over the crash site and noticed the plane was about 300 yards from landing at the airport. It was not a local plane. I guess they were just trying to get down, maybe in an emergency. I don't know. It was ripped in half. The person who died was an adult. That's all we know there. Terrible story out of Winters. KRBC reporting a 7-year-old girl in a, just a horrific story for all my neighbors in Plainview. That's right. Happened down in Winters, but a 7-year-old girl is among three dead after a fiery crash west of Winters. Two other children are in critical condition after the Sunday night crash. That's the latest I have. 51-year-old Francisco Galvan Trevino of San Antonio was driving a Chevy Tahoe. It's about 20 after 10 last night. Tried to pass several vehicles, crashed head-on into a Ford Edge carrying five people. The Ford caught fire. DPS said 7-year-old Adeline Muniz, 20-year-old Marissa Ramos, and 46-year-old Sissy Ramos, all of Plainview, were pronounced dead at the scene. You can't take these things back, folks. It's not worth the risk. It's just instant. Oh, God be with them all. Two men charged after a 20-year-old was fatally shot during a car sale in Northeast Harris County. That's right. KTRK says the suspects turned themselves in. Apparently, these 20-year-olds and stuff, they were doing a car sale and negotiating, and then they just decided they would rob, or somebody there decided they would rob the other one. Eight injured when a vehicle plowed into a crowd at a mud race down in Fabens. That's just the old white ways outside of El Paso. They had a track there set up for mud race events, and about 6:30, a vehicle left the mud track, crashed through a guardrail into the spectators, and some were in critical condition. Three in critical condition, five others with non-life-threatening injuries. Pray for them. Body of a 22-year-old woman who saved two children from drowning found in the Guadalupe River. Sad story. Somebody doing heroic action. This is from the Express News. Guadalupe County Sheriff's Office said the body of 22-year-old Cassandra Kendrick was found last night. Deputies were called to the area around a bridge at 5 o'clock yesterday after an unidentified man and Kendrick did not resurface from saving two children who were caught in a current. They haven't found the body of the man. The man was with his three children, so he leaves three children. Kendrick was with her family on an island in the middle of the river. They noticed children struggling. The man jumped in to save his kids and passed them to Kendrick, who then passed them to another person on shore. But as both children made it to safety, the man began to struggle. So Kendrick, she jumped in to help him. Both went under. They found her body. They've not found his. Isn't that horrible? But she died giving her life to save another. Missing Leveland man's body, young man, 23-year-old Greg Balboa, was found Saturday evening near Clovis. They'd been looking for him, but found him over in New Mexico on just after noon today. I guess it said his vehicle was found Saturday evening. But, yeah, the vehicle. I don't understand this sentence from KCBD. The vehicle of missing 23-year-old Greg Balboa was found on Saturday evening near Clovis, New Mexico. And just after noon Monday, Leveland police announced his body was found in Curry County, New Mexico. He was last seen on Friday. Former Lubbock man wanted in connection with the shooting of North Texas police officer out of Wise County. Royce Edward Wood, 43, of Azle, formerly of Lubbock, is apparently, they claim, was on a motorcycle, pulled over or something, got off and started shooting at law enforcement, hit one officer in the leg and fled. They got his passenger into custody. And a terrible story out of Lubbock. Our friends at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Church had their church profaned. Just utterly profaned and vandalized terribly at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Church in Lubbock, and they need some help. And boy, it's a blessing. Citizens have been coming forward to help them out. Back in a moment, my friends.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place. in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The big shooting in Austin down on 6th Street, some people got in a fight or something. Who knows if it was gang-related or just some clans going after each other. But I had seen that report as it came out in the early hours. There was a description of the shooters in those. And then all of a sudden, later, everything was cleaned up. That's right. Everything was cleaned up in the press. What do you mean cleaned up? They took the descriptions out. Well, good for the Daily Wire nationally for catching this. If the headline Texas newspaper refuses to give description of suspect in mass shooting because of, quote, stereotypes, end quote. That's right. At least 13 people were taken to the hospital. By the way, a man that wounded 14 and one of these wounded has died. Douglas John Cantor, 25, was hospitalized with critical gunshots following the early Saturday morning shooting. Died Sunday, according to Austin police. But guess what? The Austin American-Statesman came out with the story. They removed this. One of these people were on the run, and they would not print the description. Well, first they all called it a mass shooting. So you know what they would have been printing if it had been some white guy with an AR-15, because that fits the narrative. Well, they didn't like the idea it was a skinny black guy with dreadlocks, so they pulled it out of the reports, and a whole bunch of other media followed. The Statesman even printed this. Austin Police Chief Joseph Chacon initially described, here's their editor's note. Police have only released vague description of the suspect shooter as of Saturday morning. The Austin American-Statesman's not including the description, as it's too vague at this time to be useful in identifying the shooter, and such publication could be harmful in perpetuating stereotypes. No kidding. Now, the police chief, Chacon, initially described the suspect as a black male with a black shirt, skinny build, and dreadlock-type hair. That's not exactly that undetailed. I read that at the time, but then political correctness took over, and even the police chief later, because you got to get politically right there, told reporters on Saturday the description wasn't very detailed based on the chaotic nature of the incident. What does that mean? Folks, this is life and death stuff, and they're worrying about being politically correct. By the way, CBS affiliate KEYE reported that one suspect was in custody, another at large, and they wrote, early Saturday, the Austin Police Department said there's one suspect described as a black male with dreadlocks wearing a black shirt and a skinny build. They're on the lookout for somebody that just perpetrated a mass shooting where it looks like 14 people were wounded. One man's died from that. And they didn't want to tell you who to look for because would they have told you that if it was some white guy, maybe with a Trump hat, or, you know, maybe he had one of those old Stars and Bars stickers on his car or something? You would have been hearing everything about it without any kind of detailed description. We get it. We know what's going on. And that is disgusting. That is a violation of the public's trust, and even the police department, going back later to fit in with the big local media narrative that had taken over. Well, we can't say a black person wearing a black shirt and skinny and had dreadlock type hair. We can't say that. Why, that's a stereotype. No, it's a description of the shooter. Putting people's lives at risk directly now because of their political correct BS. Corporate people don't like you talking about that stuff. South Dakota's Ellsworth base will be the home to the B-21. It's not going to be Dice. Now, Dice will probably end up hosting B-21s. The big piece out in military.com over the weekend said that there will be locations in Texas and Missouri, but Ellsworth was selected by the Air Force to house the bombers training program in 1st Squadron. The B-21 Raider, Senator Thune talking about that. And we were hoping that whole program could come to Dice Air Force Base, but it's going to be in South Dakota at Ellsworth Air Force Base, which is already, that state's so small, I think it's already their number one employer, and going to grow that program, they say. Cryptocurrency gets a welcome in Texas from Governor Abbott. piece in the Chronicle, actually reporting on reporting done over at the Dallas Morning News. I just didn't see that story. It's first reported by Natalie Walters of the Dallas Morning News. Texas banks will now be able to provide crypto banking services. The Department of Banking announced that state charter banks have authority to provide custody or safekeeping services. That means these keys, like if Bitcoin or other virtual currencies like Ethereum or Litecoin, they can give the you can give the responsibility to a third party in bank where the bank can store a copy of the crypto key. And that's important. You know, there've been people lose millions or even maybe billions because they lost their key, their crypto key on this stuff. Texas banks will be allowed, state chartered banks will be allowed to provide those services now. I think the only reason people noticed that in the media was because Abbott sent some tweets or something out and saying it was a good move. Blue Origin sold its first tourist seat in their auction and the new Shepherd for $28 million, which I guess a lot of them just want to be in the capsule with Bezos and get to know him because you can buy a seat and other and actually go into real orbit and stuff. It most likely for that piece at behindtheblack.com. And my friends, the Supreme Court justices have deferred the Harvard case on race in college admissions. The AP story today by Mark Sherman, beginning with. With abortion and guns already on the agenda, the conservative-dominated Supreme Court is considering adding a third blockbuster issue, whether to ban consideration of race in college admissions. Texans may remember that a suit against University of Texas for using race for admissions, which is just inherently racist, has made it up twice. Justices, though, today put off a decision about whether they'll hear an appeal on Harvard, claiming Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants. They asked the Department of Justice to weigh in on the case, which takes several months, so this will probably get delayed. In the Texas case, they reaffirmed a 4-3 decision that colleges and universities can consider race in admission decisions, but has to be very narrowly tailored to promote diversity. But, you know, two of the four members of that majority are gone now from the court, Ginsburg and Kennedy. So they're, you know, may take this up again. It is really a disgusting anti-American thing that they can simply look at your race and put you in or out of a university, and especially a public university. That is racism. I mean, there you go, racial quotas. Terrible stuff. So we'll see what happens. The courts so far have ruled all the precedents, and there have been a lot of them, say they can do this, but again, it's supposed to be narrowly tailored and stuff like that. But, you know, way back when this is why these moderates never get it. Sandra Day O'Connor, a quarter of a century ago in the Michigan case, said we expect that 25 years from now, the use of racial preferences will no longer be necessary to further the late interest to prove today. Well, that was goes way back. We're down the road farther than that, and they're still doing it, and they're upping it to do even more. That intelligence analyst who leaked secret intelligence from the NSA to the media back in 2018 during the campaign about Russia supposedly hacking things here, well, voter list, which apparently they did, didn't do anything with votes, but Winner, Reality Winner, that's her name, Reality Winner. She's from South Texas, and she's been released from federal prison, according to her attorney. Some people call her a whistleblower and said she ought to be pardoned. Not in this case, not from what I've read in the case. And a federal judge dismissed the vaccine mandate lawsuit by the staff of the Houston Hospital, Houston Methodist, that says they've all got to have this unproven and, to some people, dangerous and unnecessary, if you've already had COVID, vaccine. The Reagan-appointed federal judge made some arguments that I think I read through the details on this. It seems pretty stupid to me. We'll see how it goes. Jared Woodfill, their lawyer, says they're going to appeal and they're going to take it to the Supreme Court if they have to, but don't count on the courts to look out for your rights, my friends. Just don't do it ever. I mean, that's the recourse we have, but I'm saying don't bet the farm on it. Don't forget, you can get the tickets to our big event, Standing Strong, a Celebration of Liberty, with our Abilene affiliate. You can find all the information, get a link to tickets at prattontexas.com. We'll be back in a moment, my friends.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under 10 grand. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Welcome to the home for Texas political and news analysis without an out-of-state corporate management muzzle. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. Texas wins 9th Golden Shovel Award for job creation and business investments. It comes from Area Development Magazine, and like I said, it's the 9th year Texas has won the award for high-value business investments in 2020. Also named by Area Development as the Manufacturing Project of the Year is the Tesla Gigafactory Project in Del Valle, just outside of Austin. Just out between Austin and Bastrop, just past the old Air Force Base Bergstrom that's now the Austin Airport. That's a massive development. Over in the political stack, Ava Guzman, the former Supreme Court Justice, former as of Friday, she resigned abruptly, and then late Friday filed a treasurer appointment to run for Attorney General in the Republican primary. She chose Orlando Salazar of Dallas, Vice Chair of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, as her treasurer. And, you know, that's going to be amazing. You've already got, you know, they're asking in one piece, will this change Trump's willingness to get in and endorse? Because, you know, you got P. Bush, who's been awful as a land commissioner and essentially incompetent across the board, whether it's the Alamo or hurricane restoration stuff, whatever, running against Attorney General Paxton. Both of them are big Trump backers, and Trump said he would endorse. Now Eva Guzman gets in this race. This is going to be an interesting race, and there may be more. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun race. The one thing I don't like about it is that the Republicans jumping in the race mostly are doing so to become part of a left-wing media operation, or they're aiding and abetting that, because instead of standing up for Paxton, most of the things that have involved him are just simply these creations, political persecution of conservatives. But Paxton's a big boy, and he's made some mistakes on his own. We'll see who comes out in this. Texas State Rep. James White's been on the program a couple of times, and he's from, I think, Hillister. It's down in South and East Texas. He told KFDM in Beaumont that he's not going to run for re-election and that he intends to run for statewide office. Quote, "Don't be surprised if you see me on the Republican primary ballot for statewide office." I don't know what he's going to run for. He wouldn't tell them. But it's interesting. His district right now covers Tyler, Hardin, Jasper, Newton, and Polk counties. If you don't know, James White is a black man. He is a conservative Republican, was very conservative when he went in the House and then decided he didn't like being on the outs and sort of in a little bit of a way sold out to leadership to get committee gavel and stuff like so many of them do. But he's a good guy. I wish him well. I wonder what he'll run for. That could be fun, too. Texas Supreme Court denied the request from a former Dallas City Council candidate to stop the election certification there. It's a story I've been following. It just didn't make the runoff by 28 votes back in May, and I think waited too long to challenge this stuff. And also, Senator Buckingham said she spoke to lawmakers who were rumored to be interested in the position of land commissioner, and she said she didn't think she'll be running against any of her colleagues. I think that was at WFAA this weekend on their political show they do. And that's interesting, because that might be what James White's running for. She may have been her Senate colleagues. I don't know. But in this story, they said she will not have to give up her Senate seat while running for commissioner of the General Land Office. Really? Well, that's not true. In fact, even the Lieutenant Governor runs the Senate in a big press release announcing a bunch of new committee, you know, shuffling committee chairman, because she's not there. Colt said that he praised Senator Buckingham, who recently announced she's leaving the Senate to launch a statewide run for land commissioner. And he had to reshuffle things for the special session. Senator Donna Campbell's going to be chair of nominations. Bob Hull, Administrative Committee, Kelly Hancock, Veterans and Border Security, and Schwertner, Business and Commerce. Some calling that a demotement for Hancock, but you never know. It could be something he asked to be moved to. And the lieutenant governor's expanding the scope of the Jurisprudence Committee, chaired by Senator Huffman, to include pension and insurance issues. That's important. It makes Huffman that much more powerful. She's already extraordinarily powerful. I just thought it was interesting. They usually get so much right on that big weekend show they do on WFAA, but to say that she didn't have to give her Senate seat, you already have Ellen Troxclair. By the way, you folks in Abilene, if, unless you're in the very northern part, you're in Senator Perry's district, most of you are in Senate District 24, Buckingham, out of the Austin area. It reaches all the way up to Abilene. Kind of interesting to see them say she won't have to give up her Senate seat, because it's not only that, all Senate seats are up for re-election next time because of redistricting. Everybody has to run. They'll draw, I think, for how long their terms will be, because it's, you know, it's normally a longer term than 2 years, and so they usually, I think, draw lots for that. But Buckingham's already got Troxclair, the former, you know, the Austin City Councilwoman, running in the conservative primary, and they're sitting there saying, oh, she doesn't have to leave. I was just surprised by that. It's not the kind of thing I'm used to seeing from that outlet when it comes to the weekend political news. And speaking of the legislature, since what they did won't really get them anywhere, just like every time Democrats have busted a quorum and ran off and ran out of state or whatever, Vice President Harris, who doesn't have time to go to the border or actually work on the border, even though she's been named the head of the border issues by Biden, she's got time, though, to have a White House meeting with these state legislators from the Democrats in Texas that left to block the voting integrity bill. That's how they do it. Give them a big trip to the White House. Let them show them around you, whatever. Ooh, schmooze them. That's all they're going to get out of it, I think. After blowing through $2 billion trust fund and borrowing billions more, Texas Unemployment Agency, the Workforce Commission's having to figure out how to replenish the funds. The story at WFAA begins with Governor Abbott is eliminating the $300 weekly federal unemployment benefit early on June 26th. Texas will be the latest state to cancel it because you can't get anybody to go to work. People can't get people to work. Workforce Commission plans to meet today to discuss how they'll replenish the unemployment fund. Going into the pandemic, the agency had $2 billion. We had a healthy trust fund to pay benefits. After it was over, they blew through the entire trust fund in less than 3 months. By the way, thank you, Abbott, and the rest of you so-called fiscal conservatives that shut the businesses and everything down and threw people out of work, because you're responsible for most of this. Says they've been borrowing heavily from the feds ever since, recently hitting $6.9 billion in loans. So they're going to have to figure out how to replenish the trust fund. And, of course, they raise unemployment rates in Texas. They already have a formula where they go up when the demands are strong. They put us all out of business, especially small business people. TWC says the total paid to suspicious claims is almost, well, just slight of $900 million out of $47.4 billion. Sounds like a lot, but that's less than 2%. And they've been flagging this stuff and stopped some of these things, trying to claw back some of the money. They were in the middle of trying to change their computer system out when all this started, and it was all crashing, and they've been so busy, they're now trying to get back to that. Meanwhile, we don't have any more trust fund for the unemployment in Texas. We'll see what happens with that. It's a story that really began percolating out last week at the end of the week, and saw a little bit more on it over the weekend. They had their meeting today, so hopefully we'll have some press tonight and tomorrow on things that were discussed about refilling the coffers. I know small business people, all business people, looking at that going, now, wait a minute. You can kill the goose that lays the egg, the golden egg. You come in here and just jack that thing up so high. And again, it's an example of business and independent private people being hurt by the policies of Greg Abbott and local county judges and mayors that shut the economy down and just decided who's legal to work and not work and threw millions and millions and millions of people out of work when there could have been much easier, much less costly workarounds to be able to continue working. All right, now, I want to get to this critical race theory stuff. I've spoken a lot about it. It's not getting much in your local press But nationally, the stuff in Texas and in other states is getting tremendous coverage because this is one of the left's big moves. More on that in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Don't like the brakes? Some say the brakes are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Just so you don't think this is all just Washington Post and stuff like that, here's one of the local stories this weekend from KWTX out of Belton, of all places. The Bell County Democratic Party rallied current and retired educators, school teachers, in addition to community leaders, a bunch of political activists, outside the county courthouse to protest what some perceive to be efforts to eliminate the teaching of critical race theory in public schools. See, they admit right here. The other big-time stories from big-time journalists try to make it appear that, there's not actual critical race theory. And where they're using it, it's not what it is. They describe it as something other than it is. But they pointed out right here, and then they get it wrong here out of the KW. Joe Villasana at KWTX gets it wrong. Critical race theory is a school of thought that analyzes how racism impacts, he should say, affects politics, culture, and society in the U.S. No, it isn't. It's a materialist view straight out of Marx, out of the Frankfurt School, which is a Marxist school. All critical theory. That's what that word critical theory means. It claims there's no basic nature in man. There's no sin. There's no natural sin. None of this. Everything is a political construct. And racism wouldn't even exist except for political institutions and constructs, which, of course, is beyond laughable. You have to be dumber than dirt. Dumber than dirt to believe that. It means you've never read any history whatsoever of anything, of the world or anything else. Sin comes natural. Racism's as old as any written and oral histories we have in this world. It's not some construct of the political apparatus. Now, so you got that, then you had the big Washington Post story that was carried in the Hearst papers. Teachers across the country protest laws restricting lessons on racism. See, that's how they put it to you, that we're going to lie about our country's racist past. And then they claim critical race theory is a decades-old academic framework that holds that racism is systemic. That's not, actually. It's a materialist. Anyway, embedded in government policies and laws that are evident in any serious examination of American history. No, that's not what critical race theory holds. But anyway, they don't care. And a lot of states are passing bills to stop teaching this stuff. The bill in Texas, actually, that they've been screaming about doesn't even mention critical race theory. So I want to know, who are all these? Are these the Democrat Party? Are these the sons and grandsons or current members of the Klan? You know, the Klan was from the Democratic Party. These teachers in Belton and stuff, are they from the Klan? I don't know. Because let me tell you what the bill in Texas said you couldn't do, in a nutshell. And I read you the actual language several times during the session. I published a piece that got published by the Texas Scorecard and then published nationally by American Greatness on it. The bill says you can't teach that one race is superior or inferior to another. In other words, you can't tell a little child in the room that because she was born white, brown, black, whatever, that you can't teach in school that she is something, just because of that. That she's inferior or whatever. You can't teach your grandchildren in the school that because their grandparents are white that they are oppressors and guilty of slavery. Well, they're not. You can't say that they're inherently oppressors and inherently racist. And that's, by the way, what critical race theory holds in application. Its actual theoretical stuff is so complicated, like all of Marx's thought, that the people who follow it actually often don't even understand what they're following, which is purely materialist teaching that there is no, in other words, even these WAPO already because systemic, well, actually, the materialist thoughts out of the Frankfurt School and Marxism as a whole claim there is no, there's nothing that's actually systemic, in other words, in the sense of white people are naturally oppressors, brown people are naturally this or that or anything like that, because they, it claims there is no God, there is no soul, there is no natural propensity of man except that which is pushed upon them through social institutions and political, mostly everything seen as political, whether you might call it a social institution, but that, you know, religion, whatever. So they don't even know much of that. That's what I just hear or read these people all the time. Some of them have PhDs and they're just so ignorant. It's not only are they wrong on what they believe, they're actually ignorant of the things they talk about. But the Texas bill basically just simply barred racism in the classroom. You can't go around teaching that, you know, one group of people just because of their race is guilty of this, that, or the other. It's all individuals. Go see my piece in American Greatness. See it at the Texas Scorecard. It's at prattontexas.com where I ask, are Republicans racist for opposing racist constructs? Alan West, still chairman of the Republican Party, he's resigning, but I don't know when it's effective. He's putting out his weekly thing. Had a piece out for Flag Day about Will Defend, and he points out this stuff. He about this 1619 project that says America's all founded in racism and everything. And he's pointed out that today's also the date of the birth of the U.S. Army in 1775, you know, for the Revolution, 246th anniversary. If the country was founded in 1619, why did it take so long to create its Army, Navy, and Marine Corps, you know, and other centuries later? But he talked about it. He said, there's this book released. Oh, in Texas Monthly, they've all loved it. But forget the Alamo, The Rise and Fall of the American Myth by Brian Burrow, Chris Tomlinson, Jason Stanford. This book is stupid. I mean, any person who paid attention going to school in Mexico, as my wife did, can tell you how absolutely ridiculous this book is. They're all, it completely ignores the Tejanos and everybody that fought for freedom. And it completely appears to completely ignore because their premise is that there wasn't anything going on for liberty or fighting for independence, that Santa Anna came here to save us, that these were a bunch of slavers. I guess forgetting that Zacatecas and Yucatan and a whole bunch of areas in Mexico were in open revolt, too. And they get praised in the press, and they're just stupid. So you had all these protests about that. And then the Houston Chronicle wrote its own story by Kayla Harris, 1836 Project. See, we took their learns. That's Texas' birthday that we passed in the legislature. 1836 Project promoting, quote, patriotic education in Texas heightens concerns about whitewashing history. Nobody's whitewashing anything. Here's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. The left wants to completely rewrite history, and not only that, indoctrinate your children, just as the leftists do, the communists do all over the world in these re-education camps. They want to brainwash your children into guilt so they'll never oppose the left on anything, telling them they're responsible because of the color of their skin, which is inherently racist itself, for all the ills that have happened in humanity that they bring up. They want to teach all of that in the schools. They're doing it in their, this is, you know, the next phase in the culture war to make it where we're a leftist Marxist country. Bunch of Republicans who often, just like the leftists, don't really understand what's really going on and at stake, but are well-meaning, said, let's have patriotic. We need to at least teach the basic principles that bind us together as a state, as a culture, and as a country, and the left doesn't want that because they oppose all those things. Oh, patriotic education, that's going to whitewash history. Nobody. I looked at these bills. None of these bills whitewash anything. They don't prevent teachers from teaching history. See, that's the point. They keep whitewash history. No, they keep you from rewriting and changing history from being a history of what happened and legitimate extemporaneous reasons for that explained and can be argued into non-history. They simply want to be allowed to teach political thought, contemporary political thought in place of history, and that's what's going on, and we're fighting back, and they're going crazy. They're going crazy over it nationally and statewide. Even in Belton, they were out protesting. There were other protests around the state too this weekend with these teachers, and they were doing it nationwide. And of course, most of them are totally useful idiots, have no clue what these bills said. And basically, the ones in Texas, I just have to say, are y'all all a bunch of racists? You apparently didn't read the bill you're protesting against because, I don't know, apparently you want to teach racism. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all, ladies and gentlemen. Adios, mis amigos.
Are you concerned about the significant rise in the prescription drug use? It can affect your workplace. Allied Compliance Services offers policies and procedures to ensure a drug-free workplace. Improve company safety, boost employee morale, assure confidence in your clients. Allied Compliance Services is a preferred collection site for multiple laboratories, a perfect resource for pre-employment testing. We provide drug testing support to businesses from apples to zebras. We'll help you too. Find us at alliedcompliance.com.